All right, I'd like to call the August 9th Audit Committee meeting to order, and we're going to begin with the roll call.
Member Barr?
Present.
Member Nerland?
Here.
Member Cedarburg?
Cedarburg. That's you.
Here.
Vice Chairman Quintero?
Here.
Chairman Maxick?
I'm here. And we have a quorum, so next on the agenda is the Pledge of Allegiance. Please rise for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And with the agenda, any board members wishing to modify the agenda or staff, are there any items that need to be removed from the agenda? Hearing, seeing none, I'll entertain a motion for approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
If a motion is second, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. That carries unanimously. Item four is public presentations. Are there any members of the public wishing to comment on any items that are under the jurisdiction of the Audit Committee? Hearing none, we're going to move on to item five, approval of the May 24th, 2024 Audit Committee meeting minutes. Any questions about the minutes from board members? Hearing none, anyone in the public wishing to comment on the Audit Committee meeting minutes? Hearing no comments from the public, I'm going to close the public portion and bring it back to the board for approval. Is there a motion?
Move to approve.
I have a motion. Is there a second?
If
a motion is second, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And that carries unanimously. Moving on to item six, which is under consent. We have one, approved quarterly fraud report covering April 1st, 24 to June 30th, 2024. Any comments from board members to staff about the consent item? Hearing none, anyone in the public wishing to comment on the consent item? Seeing no members in the public wishing to comment on the consent item, I'm going to close the public portion, bring it back to the board for action. Is there a motion? We have a motion. Is there a second? We have a motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Moving on to discussion and action items. Item 7A, review and approve the Fresno County Public Library Department Head Transition Report. Staff is now going to give us a brief presentation on item 7A.
Good morning, my name is Daisy Landeros, and I'm an accountant in the Financial Reporting and Audits Division. And our office recently completed a transition review for the County of Fresno Public Library. During this audit, we evaluated cash and capital assets under the management of the departing department head as of their departure date. We also examined conflict of interest filings and reviewed the paychecks of both incoming and outgoing department heads for accuracy and appropriateness. These are just a few examples of our audit procedures. The audit resulted in three findings. The first finding relates to cash handling practices. For background, the public library maintains 37 cash funds, of which 8 were selected for testing. During the cash counts, overages of 25 cents and 45 cents were identified in separate library branches. These variances were not reconciled and no additional documentation was provided to justify the overages. As these funds are change funds, we recommend that cash on hand is reconciled daily to receipts and the accountable balance of the fund. This practice helps ensure that balances are accurate and that any discrepancies are reported in a timely manner. The second finding relates to asset management. We identified that 16 out of 64 inventoryable assets had asset tags that were either missing from the asset listing or did not match the listing provided by the department. Additionally, 6 out of 64 assets did not have a specified quantity in the listing, and upon further communication with the department, it was explained that one of the 6 assets was declared surplus in November 2023, but the inventoryable asset listing did not include a disposition date or a method of disposition. We recommend that the department revise its inventoryable asset listing to ensure that all required data is included for each asset in accordance with Management Directive 413.2 If the necessary information is unavailable for current assets, we suggest including the required information for any new assets going forward. For our third and final finding, it relates to compliance filings. And in this part of the audit, we assess the department's compliance with completing Form A, which is a quarterly report of gifts and gratuities, and Form 700, which is a statement of economic interest. We selected a sample of 20 staff members required to complete Form A and 21 staff members required to complete Form 700. We discovered that for Form A, 6 out of 20 employees did not sign the form on time, and for Form 700, 1 out of 21 employees did not complete the form. For this matter, we recommend that the department review its processes and procedures for receiving and reviewing these forms and provide training to staff to ensure compliance with the periodic requirements. We would like to express our gratitude to the department staff for their assistance during our review. And if you have any questions, representatives from the department are here to address them.
Questions for audit staff on this? Yes.
I just have one question. On finding three, the department mentioned that since we came up with the new process for our conflict of interest forms that's online, that the department is unaware. It used to be a hard copy process. So since that was brought up, since that's not just this department, it's multiple, has HR been contacted? Is there a way for departments to get a report so they know? Because it sounds like in this case, this isn't just going to be in the library, but it'll be in any department.
That they know of, that they have to complete the form? Or?
Yeah, so in the department's response to finding three, they acknowledged it, but they said there's no communication from main HR to department contact person if eligible members have completed the form on a timely basis, because it's through a system. Mm-hmm. It goes directly to the individual. So I assume they just have to create some kind of a report to department. So maybe I can ask Sally. Maybe it's a question that you've found out about that. I just want to find out, because it wouldn't just be your department. It would be all departments.
Yeah. So good morning. So what the main issue was that the checks and balances of those reports coming in through NeoGov were handled by someone in HR. And so our person that collects the paper forms she didn't know, like, if those were being done or not being done. The fix that we had, and I'm sure other departments may already be doing this, or they could do this, is that the access was given to the staff person who's in charge of that, so that now she can go in herself and make sure that those are completed. So that was and the training process has been complete. I believe it was July 8th that they did the training on NeoGov, so that now she can go in and actually make sure those forms are completed.
Okay, that's all. Thank you.
Dan says that his department needs to be audited. No, I'm just kidding.
They're next, by the way.
Oh, beautiful. Any other questions from board members? All right, then I'll go out to the public. Any questions from the public on item 7A?
Actually, I do, Mr. Chairman. I have one question.
Yeah.
How many employees do you have that fill out 700s?
Jeannie Christensen, the library business manager. For the department, based on the exhibit for who's eligible, we have a staff of 300. We have about 90 employees. And those classifications are going to be librarians that have access to the public and do a lot of negotiation and community relations, as well as like staff analysts, business managers, and management.
Okay. You might, when I know the CAO is looking at AP1, you might want to look at some of the departments, whether we're over listing people as well as under listing people, you know, for 700s, because.
And that is something that when we do go before the board annually in November for that December approval, yes, if library does have way more staff than other departments, because that was part of our preliminary review. So if you compare us to, say, like purchasing, you know, ISD purchasing, they have a lot of contact with outside vendors. Their classification is significantly less compared to the library and other departments. And then a slight note, for the audits, with the random audits. Yes, there's been other departments that do have the same finding regarding compliance, regarding that NeoGov and that requirement since we shift that Form A to a digital basis. So that's something for the county to take in consideration. Is that something that Access you want to make available for all other departments that play that key player and following up on the timeliness since the department is held responsible?
Seeing no further public comment, I'm going to close the public portion, bring it back to the board for action on item 7A.
Motion to approve.
We've got a motion to approve the report. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion is second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. That carries unanimously. Item 7B is review and approve the Department of Public Works and Planning American Avenue disbursements compliance audit for calendar year 23. Staff, the floor is yours.
Okay, good morning. My name is Jerry Lamb. I'm an accountant with Financial Reporting and Audits Division. We conducted a cash disbursement compliance audit for the American Avenue disposal site of Department of Public Works and Planning for dates in fiscal year 2023. The main objective of this audit was to ensure that the cash disbursement components reviewed were accurate and approval processes and supporting documentation existed. We examined internal controls and verified the existence of segregation of duties. To accomplish our audit objective, we selected a sample of 35 transactions with the inclusion of voucher payments and journals and performed the test of controls and details. We reviewed cash disbursements transactions for appropriate timing of disbursements, accuracy with appropriate approvals, and proper supporting documentation. The audit resulted in the identification of one finding. We found one of the 35 transactions tested did not get paid in a timely manner as the submission for payment processing exceeded the 45-day window period specified in the respective contract with the vendor. The transaction exceeded 35 days after the 45-day window. We believe the cause of the finding is due to a lack of written policies and procedures regarding the timeliness of payment processing. Clear policies and procedures did not exist. We recommend the department revise its cash disbursement policies and procedures to include clarity regarding the timeliness of payment processing. The policy should define a clear time frame for completing the cash disbursement tasks from the time an invoice is received until payment is made. To improve oversight and accountability, we recommend the department establish a clear protocol for the timeliness of each process. This protocol should outline specific responsibilities and ensure what disbursements are thoroughly reviewed and approved in a timely manner. We'd like to express our gratitude for the department staff and their cooperation. And if you have any questions, a representative from the department is here.
Questions for staff? Hearing none, it's pretty cut and dry. One finding out of the number tested is not terrible, but there's always room for improvement. Anyone in the public wishing to comment on this item? Seeing none, I'll close the public portion, bring it back to the board for action. We have a motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
If a motion is second, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. That carries unanimously. Item C is review and accept the independence certification. Oscar, the floor is yours.
Oscar Garcia, Auditor Controller. Good morning. So every year, the Institute of Internal Auditor standards that we follow have me come up here and make sure that staff that I have working on these audits are independent. So we certify that we are independent, and this is that certification. So if there's any questions, and if staff wasn't independent, they would not be assigned to that particular engagement. I'd have somebody else do that.
Any questions about this? We appreciate your independence. We would have expected this report closer to the 4th of July, though, since we are talking about independence. Anyone in the public wishing to comment on this item?
Right.
Hearing none, I'm going to close the public portion, bring it back to the board for acceptance of the independence certification. Is there a motion? I'll make the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
If a motion is second, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And that carries unanimously. Item 8 is staff updates. Staff update us, please.
I do have a couple updates. Oscar, the Auditor Controller again. First update is last meeting that we had, I believe CAO Nerland and the Audit Committee wanted the home garage vehicles addressed. So what we did is we came up with a questionnaire. We sent it to all departments. Most departments have submitted the information except for a few that are still getting back to us by the end of the month. We're going to review that data, and based on that data, it might trigger an audit for those particular departments. So everybody has responded. There's just some departments that have a little more home garage, and they're collecting the data that we requested of them. That was the any questions on that one? I have another update on something else.
Thank you for doing it. Appreciate it.
So the other update that we had that I have is the ISD / probation audit that was started a while back. That is not quite ready. It is very cumbersome. What we're going to do is we're going to split those two reports, probation and ISD. And the secondary thing on that is that I have currently asked, and I believe I CC'd Paul on that, the ISD director, the current ISD director, to go ahead and give us access to get some two licenses for Gen AI to help in summarizing all these massive amounts of data. So you're not going to be inundated with all this lengthy report, and you're going to get a summary version of that lengthy report. So that's what we've asked, and hopefully it'll take about 2 weeks before we get that Gen AI. We're looking at Amazon Bedrock to help facilitate that.
Any other updates?
So the only question
the meetings? Go ahead.
Well, we're just thinking about moving the December 9th audit committee date to early November, just to inform the committee.
Okay. I would recommend, I have jury duty the first week in November, and I won't be able to get out of it. I love jury duty, but they never allow me to stay for some reason. I don't know why. They always kick me off. So hopefully it won't be too lengthy. What I'm saying is maybe the second week in November, and I know that we don't want to, I don't know when Thanksgiving falls exactly off the top of my head. 28th? Okay, perfect. So maybe somewhere around the 20th we could schedule it. That would give me 2 weeks for jury duty.
Okay.
So if that works for everybody else. November 22nd looks good? Okay. Well, maybe we could do that. So okay. We'll take a look at the 22nd of November. Send an email out to board members, and we'll get it on our calendars if that's workable for you.
Yes, we'll.
All right. Paul, is there?
A follow-up question on the ISD audit. So maybe this date will help. So are you thinking that the results of one of those audits would come back at this meeting we just talked about?
Yeah, it should be both. And okay. It's going to give the department enough time to respond.
Okay.
So we want to make sure we capture that as well.
Okay. Thank you.
And the timing is as well, because usually at the beginning of the year, we want to make sure that we get the ACFR back to the audit committee, because there's always a time crunch after it gets done.
Okay.
So we had kind of slide it over. You have one in December, and then you have another one in January. It's kind of, sometimes it's cumbersome.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Well, I have you here, Oscar. Let's talk a little bit about the treasury pool.
Okay.
Might as well, right?
All right.
There's a portion in the treasury pool that's a little over 1% that is kind of segmented off, that's identified just as, I guess, property tax pool funds. It's like 1.5%.
Okay.
What is that used for exactly? Because, I mean, we're looking at something that's probably...
Talking about the funds before they get distributed out to
the
county,
be,
cities. And
that could be exactly what that is. So is that like a reserve account? Just depending on...
It is the collection of property taxes, and when we pay off, and for teetered ones, we pay it 3 times during the year. The last payment is in July, 5%, to make them whole. And then the ones that we don't collect that are not teetered, then we collect them, and when we receive them, we give them the payments throughout the year when those are received.
So... in effect, you always want to make sure you have enough in that account, because if it goes to zero, you have no way to make distributions, right?
So the teetered one, that's what I was talking about. So let's use the city of Salma, for example. They are teetered. They get 100% of their property taxes by July, but only 95% of the residents paid their taxes. that 5% goes into this TEDR program. From these proceeds, we would pay them 100%. And as we're collecting the penalties and all that, it gets accumulated, and then that gets put in this fund.
Have we seen that TEDR account grow over time?
Lightly.
Or does it grow in proportion to the pool?
No. So it grows, but it depends on the delinquencies for that year. So example, so if the delinquencies are very high, you know, if there's a recession coming, the delinquencies are high, therefore there's going to be more utilized from that pot of money, I guess, if you will. So it's always difficult to tell how much is going to be needed prior to the collections in the delinquency rate.
So in that TEDR fund, I guess, is there a share that is allocated to the 15 cities? And is there any share that's allocated to the county within that pot?
No, there's a share on the excess could potentially come back to the county. But like I said, that's the program, and then making sure that there's enough proceeds in there, because there, if there isn't, then the county would have to pay that anyway.
And how often is there an analysis done identifying the excess that would need to come back to the county?
Yearly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So one of the things I'd like to take a look at is maybe over the course of the last 5 years, how much of that TEDR excess has come back to the county? And I would imagine some years there's none that come back.
I think last year there was none, right? So the year before there was two. Last year there was none. The year before there was $2 million.
$2 million, just in the TEDR thing.
$4 million, sorry.
Excellent. So what I want to do is for budgeting purposes, I think it assists the county in just understanding cyclically what that kind of looks like, because there's about $1.4 billion allocated to the county share overall. That's discretionary, non-discretionary, everything. 18%, a little over 18% of the treasury pool is the county share as of June 30th of 2024, so about $1.39 billion. And at some point, what I would like to do is a reconciliation of which departments have a share of that $1.39 billion, because on paper, departments have an understanding of how much of that is theirs, but I don't know how often we do a full-blown reconciliation.
I think what we're going to do, because we were in communication with Paige on that, and we've already done a few of the departments, the larger departments, so what we're thinking about doing is there are restricted funds that departments have access to, and the interest piece of those restricted funds. And what the rule is if it's an external source saying you must keep that interest, then it has its own fund and it keeps its interest. If there is no external source saying you must keep that interest and use it in that program, then the general fund gets it. There's already funds that are set up that way, but we found a few, right, just recently where they did not have that, and now the general fund is getting that interest. So we are going to send that out to all departments here probably in the next couple months.
Excellent. I appreciate it. It was just something that was I've been thinking about for a while, and I know I've talked a little bit to you about it and to Paige, and it helps me as we have these discussions, it helps me better understand the whole fiscal position of the county, and so I really appreciate the openness of your office and sure. All the hard work.
All right.
Any other questions from board members?
That's in that fund he was talking about. Well, it depends if it's teetered or not teetered. So if it's teetered and they're in the program, then they would have already gotten their 100%. And then that extra is for the teeter program. So I don't want to wait. I want all my money by the end of the year, because some entities cannot handle, they only have 95% collection in that 5%. They'd rather have all their money up front.
But
it's a risk to the county if there's a recession and we don't have enough to pay, because the county would have to, I'd have to come to the board and saying, hey, we need $10 million to fund the TEDR fund.
And you, in terms of, you know, budgeting process, it really depends upon how the collections go and what's the types of properties that are up for sale and everything like that. I mean, it's not, is it sort of a regular amount that comes in, or
The collections vary, the delinquency rate varies, but like I said, in a recession,
right,
there's going to be less people that are going to pay. Therefore, there's going to be less in that fund eating the proceeds from the prior year.
Right. until we collect 3 or 4 years down the
road. So it's always a timing issue, and when is the recession going to hit? I mean, they've been saying it's going to hit for a while, and now with the stock market doing what it's doing, I'm not really sure when it'll hit, if it's going to hit next year. But the delinquency rates based on the 08, 09 went up significantly.
I think it's going to go up. The delinquency rate is. You look at credit card debt, that continues to rise, but it's not at levels like we saw back in 2008. And delinquencies on mortgages are actually very healthy because most people who have mortgages still are paying very, very low interest. But there's a ton of pressure on governments right now, schools, everything else. And so as governments begin to have to live within their means and schools, that means people who are reliant on those salaries won't be able to make their mortgage payments. So it's a vicious cycle. So
if they do have impounds, though, that the mortgage company won't let it go delinquent because it doesn't behoove them, even if the payments were made. They would still make them because they don't want us to sell it later on in 5 years. And we haven't seen a significant increase on the delinquencies, but like I said, when the recession in 08, 09 hit, it was significant. And in fact, I wasn't here at the time, but they unteetered the unsecured, right? So they had unsecured teetered at that time, and they took that out of the program because we wouldn't have been able to sustain that.
Great discussion. All right, any other comments from board members? All right, hearing none. We're now on item 9, which is adjournment. Is there a motion to adjourn? We have a motion. Is there a second? We have a motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Look at that. 28 minutes.